is Vision Sunday, and I always get excited when there's fresh vision, because you heard from Andrea last week, without vision, the people perish. If we don't have a vision in life, you're just going to live like this. And you just, but when we have a vision, then we move forward and we take those opportunities. We're more willing to take risks when we had vision than we don't have vision. If you don't have a vision, you're like, well, what's the point? But when you have vision, you have something to live for. And so I want to share three things this morning. The first is the vision for St. Mungo's. The next is the core values that will help us create a culture which will allow that vision to flourish. And the third is to take some time this morning to explore how we can live out this vision on a day-to-day basis, really through these core values. So let's look firstly at the new vision for St. Mungo's. Now, back in November 2020, I headed up north for the single reason to hear God's voice, to spend time with him, and hopefully to receive a new vision. I mean, you never know what God's going to say, but this was the thought. I've been praying a lot about it. And while standing on the top of a hill called Craigendarroch, which is one of my favorite hills, one of the reasons is because it doesn't take too long to get to, and you get some amazing views, and that's it. As I stood there, and the low cloud was swirling around, if you look further up there, you'll see Loch Nagar. It's a beautiful view, but the view wasn't playing that day. But as I stood there quietly, just listening for the voice of God, I suddenly heard these two words, be love, be love. And as I prayed and reflected on those, I came convinced that that was our vision for the year that's just been. And I shared that with you in March 2021. And Kirsten Thompson did an amazing piece of artwork, which I think is going to come up on the screen, just to help you to remember to be love. And on the back of that postcard, it said this: St. Mungo's is a church family who look to be love as we are loved. Together, as we take up the call to abide in his love, be transformed by the Holy Spirit, go with the good news of the kingdom of God, we will be able to be loved as we are loved. And the more I prayed over the last year, the more I believe that be love is not just the vision for the past year, but it's the vision for us as a church. So be love is the vision for St. Mungo's Church. Now, the second thing I want to share with you this morning is the new St. Mungo's core values. Now, over the last year, I've worked with Vestry, the staff, and the senior team, and Judith Adair, to build together four core values which will help us create a culture which will allow us to be love. And Dave Lyons has also been working with the creative team to create some symbols for us that will help us to remember these. Now, there are four of them, although we've cheated slightly, but you'll see, and that might just give you a bit of a laugh. So these are Word and Spirit, Worship and Prayer, Family and Kingdom. So these are things that the Lord has really put in my heart for us as we move forward so that we can create this culture to be love, which is the vision. So let me go through each core value and explain the symbols to you. So firstly, Word and Spirit. Both always. We are committed to experience the power of the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church. Now, as you look at the symbol reflects the need for both the Word, so that's the open book, that we need to be in the Word. Dave's going to talk to you about that next week. And the Spirit, the dove. And we need these always in our lives. You know, as a Word and Spirit church, we don't try and do a balancing act of like, oh, we've spent 20 minutes in the Word, so we need to allow the Holy Spirit to move. No, we want both always. We need both always in our lives. As I've said, if we try and live the Word of God out without the Spirit of God, we're just not going to do it. It's going to feel like walking through treacle. So we need both in the life of the church, Word and Spirit. And that's that we want our services to reflect that. And this is why we spend so much time in the Word and in worshiping and allowing the Spirit to move in our services. And we want that to be in the life of the church right through, in our house groups, in our meetings, in Vestry, that Word and Spirit will be coming through. And we want that to be in your life too, because we believe that's really important if we want to live this life to be love that Jesus is calling us to. So that's the first one. The next core value is worship and prayer. And it says, we are God's beloved children, welcome in his holy presence. We seek his wisdom, trust, his faithfulness, and pour out our lives before him and praise and devotion. Now, worship is just so much more than sung worship. Worship is our whole lives. And God has given us this amazing gift of prayer as a way to, not just a one way to communicate to him, but he communicates to us. And that's what we believe this symbol represents. The little arrows going up of our worship and our prayers, but the big arrows coming down of God's love and revelation. And that's why we spend time in prayer. That's why we spend time in worship, so we can encounter him and we can be changed. That's why we've introduced the worship and the prayer evening, so we can pray for our mission partners. So we just don't say, oh yes, we're a church who prays, but we actually pray for our mission partners. That's why we have prayer cells, so that we pray. And that's why we encourage in house groups, prayer. Prayer needs to be central. And prayer is just a part of worship. It's just an outflow of worship. And that's why we have transform evenings, as I talked about earlier. So that's our second core value, worship and prayer. The next one is family. And this is one that God put on my heart really early on. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We are united in love, serving one another as we grow together in the fruit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So St. Mungo's is a church of all ages and stages. And that's what I love about it, that we've even got Zoe in, newest baby in the church this morning. It's wonderful that we are right through, and we need that. And for me, this symbol represents us as a family, that just as God the Father cares for our heart, that's what he wants. He wants our hearts, and when he's got our hearts, that's he can help us. When we're like constantly like in a battle, then that's when we find the Christian life. But he cares for us, and as he cares for us, our hearts, He asks us to be love to others. He says, by this you'll know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And so we need to take care of each other's hearts. That when we spend time together, we love each other. Why? Because he first loved us. It's really important that we spend time together. That, you know, we don't just say, oh yeah, we love you, you know, but we actually do that. And Livingston, you're so good at that. You're just, I love hearing how you've got together for this, for that. And it's great that Tracy runs the women's time on a Saturday morning. And we are getting the men's time up again. Sorry for that, guys. It's taking a bit of time, but we will do it. But we weren't created to be alone. We were created to be together. And family is a core value. The next thing, and the last one, is kingdom. We love as God has loved us. We share the good news of the kingdom of God with generosity, creativity, and courage, so that every heart and every circumstance is transformed by his love. This is a big vision, and without God, we cannot live this. It's just impossible, because it's by his Spirit that God changes our lives. And the symbol represents God's fingerprint here. And Jesus is at the center, because it's Jesus' kingdom. And the best definition of God's kingdom is this: the kingdom of God is wherever the reign and the rule of God breaks out. And sometimes he partners with us, and sometimes it just breaks out. And healing occurs, or transformation occurs, or freedom occurs, or forgiveness occurs. The kingdom of God, the good news of the kingdom of God, is just so much more than forgiveness. It's grace to some people, it's justice to another, it's peace to another. And so we want to be good news, and we go in the love of God. So we love as God has loved us. So these four core values will help us create a culture that will allow this vision of be love to flourish both inside and outside the church, and will help us to see what we need to do as we focus as we move forward. And will be our teaching series as we move through the summer time. So Dave is going to come and talk about Word next week, and then I'll come and talk about Word and Spirit. Now, in this third section, I want to spend some time thinking about how we can live this vision out to be love on a day-to-day basis, both as individuals and as a church family, using these core values. And while praying about what I was going to share this morning, one of the verses that kept on coming back to me was this verse that I shared at the beginning, 1 John 4:19, which says this, and it was written by the beloved disciple, John. He says, we love because he first loved us. And we can divide this verse into two and ask the question, who are we to love? We love, who are we to love? And the second, who does God love? So let's look at the second part of this verse first. And the word for love, which is really interesting that John uses here, is agapo. And that can mean, in the New Testament, the active love of God for, firstly, his son Jesus, but also his active love, the love of God for us. God's love is not passive, it's active. Most scholars agree that John, the disciple, was one of John the Baptist's disciples before following Jesus. And he would have heard at Jesus' baptism the words from the Father when he said this, "You, Jesus, are my beloved Son. With you I'm well pleased." And he was also one of the core threes. So at the when Jesus was transfigured and God the Father spoke again, John would have heard it. "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." So John had witnessed God the Father's love for Jesus in this voice from heaven twice. But John had also experienced God's his love for himself, and that's why he called himself the Beloved. It's like, "Hey, you know, I'm the Beloved. Step aside here, you know, more, you know." He's saying this, he calls himself this because he understood who he was. He understood that he was the Beloved of God, that God the Father sent the Son into the world because he loved us. And John got it. And that's why he could write, "We love because he first loved us." He'd experienced the love of God and it changed his life. So we see that John is referring to us here. We love because he, God the Father, first loved us. God loves you. He really loves you. And we see this belovedness, it's more than an idea. It's a truth of God's love for us. It continues throughout the New Testament. So we see it in Paul's writings in Ephesians, where he calls us the beloved children of God. Beloved, that you are God's beloved. And then John also calls you beloved. He calls believers beloved. And beloved is a word that reminds me of who I am in God. You know, often I think, you know, we weren't having a good day yesterday. Well, we were, I thought. We were making pizzas, and we took hours making pizzas like this. And, you know, so I got the dough. I made the dough. I've never made pizza dough before. It was a bit of experience trying to get the yeast to rise and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, we rolled it out. Didn't use a rolling pin. We did it with our fingers like this. And the kids were, like, doing it all. And then we got the tomato. And then they put the toppings on they want. I thought, oh, they're going to eat it. This is going to be amazing. Put it in the oven. Got it out, cut it up for them, even allowed them to watch a film. Mummy's on nights, so, you know, it's a treat. What did Harry say? "I'm not eating that." There was nearly a murder in the house. I think the only thing that I was just like, count to ten. I am the beloved of God. I am loved of God. It's just like, do you know those moments? Do you ever have it? If we're honest, like, and Harry was just standing there going like this. Meanwhile, Ellie, it's really funny, isn't it? Because when one kid sees the other one misbehaving, so Ellie's going, "Oh, it's lovely pizza, Daddy." It's like, oh, my goodness. But being his beloved changes everything for me. And then I kind of thought, how can I be his beloved when I'm 8? You know, because I was like, well, you're not getting any tea. That's it. You know how you sometimes react. Let's just be honest. It's difficult sometimes to believe that we're his beloved in life. Yeah. Henry Nouwen, who wrote a book called Life of the Beloved, wrote this: "Personally, as my struggle reveals, I don't often feel like a beloved child of God. But I know this is my most primal identity. I know that I must choose it above and beyond my hesitations." And I think that quote probably speaks to all of us. At some point, we have questioned the truth that we are God's beloved, that we are God's beloved. And I really encourage you, it's a wonderful book. It was Henry Nouwen wrote it to some friends who didn't believe in Jesus to help them believe that they were God's beloved. And Nouwen explained that the Word of God shows that the basis of our belovedness is that we are chosen by God. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you And Paul reminds us of this truth in Ephesians. It said, for he chose us in him, that's in Jesus, before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. God chose you. Even from the beginning of time, he chose you. He knew everything about you. He knew the mistakes that you would make. He knew what your prayer life would be like. He knew what, you know, and he chose you. I think that's just an incredible, just releasing truth. That even in our darkest moments, God has chosen you. He loves you. You are his beloved. Brennan Manning, who wrote the Ragamuffin Gospel, wrote this, my deepest awareness of myself is that I am deeply loved by Jesus Christ, and I have done nothing to earn it or deserve it. If we're all honest, that's the truth. In our realest moments, we realize that we have done nothing to deserve or earn God's love. But yet he has chosen us, and that is the basis of our belovedness. You know, his choosing us is for all eternity. He's not like the world, which says, you know, one minute you're the beloved of God, and the next you're on the waste heap. God's word tells us we are the beloved because he chose us. Nahum wrote this. It's very poetic, very beautiful. From all eternity, long before you were born and became a part of history, you existed in God's heart. Long before your parents admired you or your friends acknowledged your gifts or your teachers, colleagues, or employees encouraged you, you were already chosen. The eyes of love had seen you as precious, of infinite beauty, as of eternal value. When love chooses, it chooses with a perfect sensitivity for the unique beauty of the chosen one. And it chooses without making anyone feel excluded. We touch here a great spiritual mystery. To be chosen does not mean that others are rejection. You know, rejection is probably the biggest enemy to believing you are God's beloved. Things people have said or done to make you feel like you're rubbish, that you don't deserve God's love, and then that puts us into this kind of hamster wheel where we feel we have to do more for God to love us. According to Brennan Manning, rejection or self-rejection is the greatest enemy of spiritual life because it contradicts the sacred voice that calls us the beloved. There's so many things that come our way, isn't there, on a day-to-day basis that say you're not worthy. Oh, look at what you've done. But God chose you from the beginning of time, and he knows everything about you. And he says, you are my beloved. You're one of the what? There's so many wounds that we often carry, aren't there? It might have been that you weren't the chosen child in your family, and that really brought a rejection wound in you. Or it might be that you weren't chosen for something that you really wanted to go after. Maybe it was a job, or maybe it was being a team, or maybe even a relationship. We all, if we're honest, carry wounds of rejection in life. One of the biggest wounds of rejection in my life happened when I was only in P2. And I can remember the day I was given a brown envelope and told that I would be repeating a year. I didn't even know what repeat meant, P2. And I remember going home, and my mum had to explain to me what it meant to repeat a year, that all my friends would go to the next P3 and I'd have to stay. And I can remember crying my eyes out as I got out of my mum's mini. It was orange, you can remember this. And I had this brown envelope, and then I ripped it up. And I was just so angry. And I just felt so, like, from that moment on, I felt like I had to prove myself to be loved. Do you know what I mean? That I wasn't worthy unless. But you know, it wasn't. It was my dyslexia. That's all. I was dyslexic. And the school didn't know it. And over time, it's got better. But I had this huge rejection wound in my life. And this hampered me through university. It even hampered me in early ministry. Every time I made a mistake, I felt, how could God really love me? How could I be God's beloved? And then 25 years later, God used a guy called James Jordan, a hunter, a New Zealand hunter. This guy, and he used him to speak a prophetic word into my life during a Father Heart conference. So I was a Christian. I believed God loved me, but I struggled. And he simply prayed for this. He prayed this for me. He said, I see a young boy standing by a car with a brown envelope, feeling completely rejected and loved. Well, you can imagine what that did to me. It undid me. How could God know that? And then he said something that absolutely wrecked me. He said, and God the Father was there, and he loves you. Well, it was like the floodgates opened, and all these tears and snot came out as the love of God poured in, and I had a fresh revelation that I am God's beloved. And it changed me. I started to love with this unconditional love. Before moving on, I want to suggest some simple steps to help us continue to live out our belovedness so we can be loved. Firstly, we need to allow the power of the Word and the power of the Spirit to be in our lives on a regular basis. That means spending time in God's Word. There are no shortcuts for this. But, you know, there are more ways to spend time in God's Word than has any have ever been. You know, like this morning I was doing my Bible in a year. I was listening to Nicky Gumbel. I was looking at the scripture. You know, there's not a lot of effort that's required. Just like hit play and listen. And then you can follow it through. Or you can read. There's so many different ways. I find that really helpful because I'm dyslexic and I find it difficult to read, to listen to the Word of God. But we also need to allow spending time in His presence and allowing the Holy Spirit to move. I had a wonderful time in God's presence two weeks ago and actually again on Wednesday night. And it's just, I just worship and then the Lord speaks so often. Or you just feel that presence, you feel Him come. And He speaks to your life. And when He speaks, transformation occurs. Things change. So we need to spend time in the Word and the Spirit so that we can hear that we are His beloved, that we can read it. Secondly, we need to spend time in worship and prayer, both individually and as a church family. You know, as the beloved, we're welcomed into His presence. We meet Him at His throne of grace. And prayer is just an amazing opportunity for us to come out of a life of worship and say, God, I need your help here. Can you help me in this situation? I'm really struggling here. And then finally, family. We need to be reminded of our belovedness, even amid our brokenness. Let me say that again. We need to be reminded of our belovedness, even in the midst of our brokenness, because we're all broken. And yet, we weren't created to be on our own. We need to be together as a family. And that's why we have house groups. That's why we encourage you to come on a Sunday so we can be together and hopefully soon we can get the refreshments out again and we can just spend time together. But these core values of Word and Spirit, worship and prayer and family allow us to be loved. And we need to put them into our lives. They need to be a priority. Now I want to move on to the second or the first part of the scripture of 1 John 4:19. We love. And that word agapo can also mean our active love for God, our active love for each other, and our active love for those who don't know Jesus yet. I want to look at each of these because unless we're living out of the belovedness of God, we're going to find it really difficult to do this. And God's love for us is the motivation to love Him, to love one another, and to love those who don't yet know Jesus yet. So let's look at each of these. So our motivation to love God is that He first loved us. You know, as a teenager, I used to go to church, and I knew nothing of the love of God. You know, we would go and we'd have a good time. You know, I'd meet all my friends, we'd hear the Bible stories of Jesus, but that was it. And you could tell that was it because of the way I lived my life and the rest of the week. I lived for self. It was self-love. But then, when I felt I was just worthless in this life, I encountered God. I encountered God. And it all changed. And I just wanted to love God. All my friends who I lived in the house with, I was a student at the time, they thought I was on speed because I turned from this grumpy git into this woohoo, like, you need to know Jesus. And they're like, he has lost a nut in his head. Like, someone needs to section him. But do you know what? It changed. And now it wasn't just like oh, yeah, we have to do this, we have to do this. It was, I want to do this because it's out of his love for me. I want to love God with all my heart, my strength, my soul, and my mind. It was a response, and that's how he wants to love us, not, but, oh, because you love me because I'm your beloved. Now, I know some days are really tough, so don't get me wrong. I'm not preaching like, oh, it's all right, because Jesus knew that, and he said, in this life, you're going to face trouble. But we love because he first loved. We move out of that place. Our motivation to love God is that he first loved us. And we need to get that right. And if you're struggling, just ask for a fresh impartation of his love. Secondly, our motivation to love our brothers and sisters, these in the room, and those who aren't here today, as a church family, is that God loves us. That means to forgive when we're wronged, to encourage those who in their giftings, to comfort those who are struggling, to mourn with those who mourn, to celebrate with those who are celebrating. Francine Rivers wrote this. She wrote, love God and he will enable you to love others even when they disappoint you. And let's face it, Christians aren't perfect. We are not perfect. If you ask Laura, she could give you a long list. But we love because he first loved us. We love out the place of belovedness. So when someone unloads on you, just goes, wah, 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 you don't go, wah, 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 back. You respond in love. Why? Because you're loved. Is that easy? No, it's not. But it's moving out of your belovedness that allows you to do it. Remember, Jesus said this, by this everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. And we know that Jesus loved us because he gave his life for us. And then the last one, our motivation to be loved to those who do not know Jesus yet is that God first loved us. Our motivation to tell other people is that God first loved us. Wendy Mann, who works in a church downstairs, said this, when you understand your main role in living a kingdom life is to demonstrate God's love and kindness to everyone you meet, it takes the pressure off you having to make something happen. Love can look like so many different things. Buying someone a coffee, prophesying over someone, offering to carry someone shopping, sitting with someone for a few hours and listening to them. The ultimate aim when people meet you is that they get a glimpse of what God is like, that he is loved, that he is kind, and he's the perfect father. It just changes how we share the good news because we come in love, because we are loved. As we love, as the beloved, we will be able to be loved to others and see God's kingdom come. But we must not allow the desire to be comfortable to stop us from being loved and seeing God's kingdom come as we partner with the wonderful God who wants to transform other people's lives. I remember the wonderful time when me and Eileen were going out on the turning. And when you're with Eileen, you just feel loved. I mean, it's just wonderful, like this. She loves people so well. And, you know, we were going out sharing the gospel. And I can remember just feeling like the love of God for these teenagers. Well, they were probably older. They were probably about 18 or 19, but they're still teenagers. And they'd come to Ember Uni to see what it was like. And we went up to them. There was a lot of joking around. But they experienced the love of God. And Amy were able to lead one of them to the Lord. And then one of them experienced a prophetic word, like, which was just completely out of her, but it was something that God wanted to do through her. You see, when we go with God, crazy things can happen, but we can't let the God of comfort to stop us from doing that. Now, as part of the Vision Sunday, I'm very excited this morning to announce that we've been able to appoint an associate rector. Yeah, so it's very exciting. And as we said, the associate rector's main responsibility will be to pastor and grow Livingston congregation with the support of myself as the rector. And we've appointed the Reverend Isaac Knight. Here's the picture of Isaac and Ruth. Isaac is married to Ruth, who's from Linlithgow. She's not far from home, and her parents still live there, so that's great. Over the last couple of months, we've conducted an interview process which saw Isaac coming up to Scotland for two occasions to meet with a variety of people as part of the interview, including some of you, and also the bishop. So we've fulfilled all righteousness here. Isaac is from Oakham, East Midlands. He went to Durham University, where he studied sport, and then Oxford to study theology, ministry, and mission. He's currently the curate of Christ Church Flackwell Heath in High Wycombe, and we're hoping that as his curacy finishes in June, he'll be able to join us in mid-August. So this is very exciting for us as a church family. And we hope to invite Isaac and Ruth up again to Scotland before the summer to introduce them to you lot. So please be kind to them, smile, be loved, which you love to do, which is great. But please be praying for them both at this time. As Isaac finishes his curacy, this is being announced in his church today, and for Ruth as she moves up. It's a big move for them. And so let's be praying as you've been praying. And thank you for your continued prayer and support and faithfulness as we sought to fill this role over the last year. We realize it's been a long journey, but God has been good. It's another sign of his faithfulness to us, St. Mungo's Livingston. So very exciting times. As we move forward, I feel like there's two challenges for us that God wants to give us. The first is this. I want you to be a church who comes hungry to show your love for God. You are so good at showing your love for one another, but I want you to come and just love God in the way that we worship. Now, what I'm not asking you to do is, like, you, if you don't, yeah, you might watch me. I, like, put my hands up. Sometimes I might even, like, start, we dance, whatever, I clap. That's me. I love to express my worship. Why? Because it's a response. I don't want you to put that on if you don't. I want your worship to be true, but I want you to come and express your worship to God and to go hungry after him, to really seek him in these times together. You know, two Thursday nights ago, I was listening to a song, a worship song by Jonathan David Hessler, which is called I Am Your Beloved. And I'd really encourage you to listen to this because I just had an encounter of the truth that I am God's beloved in the midst of this. And the words are very apt for this morning. It says, I have heard the accusation and I've heard the propaganda. I've heard the lies they whisper to my soul that I have been forsaken and I'll always be forgotten. No matter what I do, it's not enough. And then I heard a voice and it opened up the heavens, reminding me of who I've always been, that I am your beloved. You've bought me with your blood. And on your hand, you've written out my name. I am your beloved, one the Father loves. Mercy has defeated all my shame. And in that time, I was like crying because I was getting a fresh revelation that I was God's beloved. And as we're intentional about being in the Lord's presence, both when we're together and both as individuals, I believe that God is going to move. I did this again on Wednesday night. I came back from Vestry and I just put on a song and I just started worshiping. And the Father spoke a word to me, which is just like, boom. It was like, oh, wow, what do I do with that? Like this. But it's like transformational. I'd really encourage you, let's be a people who are known to be hungry after God. So that's the first thing. The second thing, I want you to start crying out to the Father to connect your heart with his heart so that we see as he sees, so that we can be loved to those who haven't yet put their trust in Jesus. Love changes everything, as the song says. You know, this week and for the last couple of weeks, I've loved being out and about again as restrictions ease and to be love, both to the church family and to those who don't yet know Jesus. And sometimes it's just planting a seed. Sometimes it is just opening a door. Sometimes it just is asking, hey, how are you doing today? Sometimes it's just smiling at someone. I've told you the story before when we were doing healing on the streets on Princess Street, and I smiled at this lady in a wheelchair as I ran past her because I was late, as usual. And then she came up to the station, the prayer station, and we prayed for her. Some wonderful ladies prayed for her. And she came back to me at the end and she said, do you know what? I was off to take my life. And your smile made me come here. You see, you never know what a smile, what hello will do, just as we are love to one another, to those who don't yet know Jesus. Wendy Mann said this, when love is your motivation, speaking to people like Jesus becomes a joy and a privilege, as is much more likely to become part of your life. So let's be love, St. Mungo's. Why? Because he loves us. And he demonstrated it on this earth by dying on a cross for us. So if the band could come up. And I just want us, I was listening to a Father Heart talk this week, and it said something that I'd never seen before in the prodigal son story. And it said this, it was just a simple phrase. It said, when his eyes were opened, or when he had come to awareness, it was like the son suddenly realized when he was eating the pig's food, he realized who his father was. And he realized, why is he feeding pigs when he could be in the Father's house? And he could receive the love of the Father and the blessings of the Father. And that whole story, that just shows us what God's really like. So let's just stand. And we're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and give us a fresh revelation of who we are as the beloved, that we would have our eyes open to who our Father in heaven is and who we are in his eyes, that we're not a mistake, that yes, we're broken, yes, we struggle with things, yes, we have our good days and our bad days, but because he's the perfect Father, he calls us his beloved, and he wants us to dwell in his presence. So come, Holy Spirit, as we go back into worship, Lord, would you pour out your Spirit? Give us a fresh revelation. Would you open our eyes to see what our Father in heaven is like and who we are in his eyes, the beloved of God. Come, Holy Spirit.